ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ आफ्टर् गिविङ्ग् दि इण्ट्रडक्षन् In the first three verses, the Lord briefly presented Ishvara Swarupam from verse number 4 up to verse number 7. And while giving Ishvara Swarupam, he pointed out that Lord is both the intelligent cause of the creation as well as the material cause of the creation, which means that Lord alone has evolved into this universe, because the Lord does not have any other external material to convert into the creation. And since there is no external raw material available for the Lord, the raw material also must be part of Himself, and therefore Lord Himself has evolved into the universe. Which means, when I am looking into the universe, I should remember that what I am seeing is only the manifestation of the Lord. I need not put forth separate effort to have the darshan of the Lord. When I have got ornaments in my hand, I need not put forth separate effort to have the darshanam of the gold, because the very ornament that I am handling is the manifestation of gold. So gold darshanam does not require separate effort. Similarly, when I have furniture in my hands, in front of me, I know that the wood alone is manifesting in the form of furniture, which means I need not put forth separate effort for wood darshanam, because the furniture darshanam is wood darshanam. Karya darshanam is always karana darshanam, because there is no karyam other than the karanam. And therefore, for that person who has this wisdom, he doesn't feel like closing the eyes for getting the darshanam of the Lord. Until we get this wisdom, we think Lord is somewhere else seated, and I have to do tapas for the darshanam of the Lord. But once I have this wisdom, I know I need not close my eyes to have Ishvara darshanam. Whatever I am seeing is Ishvara alone. When I see bangle, I am seeing gold. When I am seeing ring, I am seeing gold. Whatever I am seeing is Ishvara darshanam. And this appreciation of the Lord as the very manifest universe itself is called Virad Bhaktihi, is called Vishwarupa Bhaktihi. And for such a Vishwarupa Bhakta, a temple is not required for invoking devotion. An immature mind, an uninformed mind, a scripturally illiterate mind requires a temple to invoke devotion. But for a Vishwarupa Bhakta, whatever he sees can invoke devotion. And in fact, he will become the greatest karma yogi because whatever experience comes from any part of the world is an experience given by the Lord only, because there is no world other than God. And therefore, Krishna talked about, or he is talking about, the Virad Bhakta from verse number 8 up to verse number 11. And how does a Virad Bhakta look at life's experiences? For a Virad Bhakta, every experience is coming from the world, and the world is nothing but the manifestation of God, and therefore every experience is coming from the Lord alone, and therefore no experience he can reject. And therefore Krishna said, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, mattaha sarvam pravartate. I am the source of everything. Prabhavaha means souls, and therefore sarvam, every experience, sukham, dukham, labha, alabha, jaya, parajaya, mana, apamana, all pairs of opposites, they are all coming from the Lord alone. Iti matva. With this awareness, they receive every experience, and therefore there is no question of a resistance with regard to any experience. So therefore, iti matva bhajante mam, this non-resistance to experiences is called prasada buddhihi. And this non-resistance is the healthiest attitude, because whatever experience arrives is a choiceless situation. With regard to future, I can try to change the experience, but with regard to the present, I can never change the experience because it has already arrived. Therefore, past is choiceless, present is also choiceless. We have a choice only with regard to future. At this moment you are in this hall, you have no choice. But next minute, whether you are going to continue to sit in the hall, you are going to walk out, is your choice. Future, there is choice. Past, there is no choice. It has arrived and gone. Present also no choice, because it has arrived. And with regard to choiceless situation, we can do only one thing. What is that? Accepting. And the only method of acceptance is look at it as the prasada of the law. And therefore, the greatest karma yogi is a Virad Bhaktaha. Jagata Ishadhi Yukta Sevanam Ashtamurti Bhrit Deva Pujanam. And therefore, Krishna said, Mam Bhajante, they worship me, not present in a particular temple, but me who am present everywhere. Bhajante mam buddha. And why they are able to do that? Because they are informed people. And what is the information they have? The whole creation is the manifestation of the Lord. They are not wise with regard to Nirguna Ishvara. Nirguna Ishvara they do not know, but Vishwarupa Ishvara they know, and therefore they are called Buddha. And not only that, Bhava Samanvita, they are soaked in devotion. And how they get devotion? Because they know that if the whole creation is the manifestation of the Lord, whatever glory is there in the creation, all of them must belong to Ishvara only. So if there is a particular animal with an extraordinary capacity, the glory belongs to the Lord, not the animal. If the human beings have got an extraordinary capacity, that also is the glory of the Lord. Thus, they see Ishvara Vibhutihi in everything. And therefore, devotion and appreciation is invoked in and through every experience. So somebody sent me a paper cutting. It's a small article which had appeared in the Times of India. So it is an article by an astronaut. So who went to the moon, and who was an astronaut, he had gone to space several times, and he writes his experiences when he was in the moon and he was looking at the glory of the earth. And it's a beautiful article. I just will read only a portion of that article, which was highly impressive for me. So he writes, he's an astronaut. There must be a creator who stands far above all religions, a creator who put a small part of the universe together that I was privileged to see. Small part of the universe, he means the earth. And we are already in the earth, therefore we cannot objectify. But remaining in the moon, he could see that earth. That's what he is telling here. A small part of the universe together that I was privileged to see. When I went back to the moon on Apollo 17, I had a chance to literally challenge that theory that there is a creator. And he says, and it came back loud and clear. There is no question in my mind that there is a creator of the universe. When you go to the moon, you have no other choice than to believe in a creator. There is no other explanation. And then he himself puts a question. After all, he is in the moon. We have got enough worries whether the rocket will go back. So we could have worried about the family, whether I will return and whether they will be safe. And of course, as an astronaut, he would have had so many duties also. So he himself raises a question. Did all this distract me from my work? Because people think to be a devotee of the Lord, you have to drop all the work and all the time do puja. So here he asked the question, did all this distract me from my work? Not really. But you keep wanting to steal a look at the earth and everything around you. So what he says is that to appreciate God, you need not drop your duties and work. If only you have a sensitive mind, even when you see a small ant or when you read the book, sometimes there will be a very, very small insect running in between lines. I don't know whether you have seen that. It will be of the size of the tip of the needle only. In fact, you cannot even brush that because it will die. So small it is. Now, that small insect has got a mind and it knows how to survive, how to procreate, how to eat. And if you put a hand in front of it, it will run away. Within that dot, everything is available. Looking at that insect, you can wonder at the glory of the Lord. Looking at a rose, you can appreciate the Lord. Looking at the sky, you can appreciate the Lord. Virat Bhakti does not require dropping your career or profession. It requires only a sensitized, an informed mind. And such a Virat Bhakta is described by Krishna in these verses. Therefore, they are bhava samanvitaha. Every plant, every insect, every star, every tree, every river evokes devotion in their mind. And naturally, if at all they want to talk with people, they don't want to talk about this and that. They would love to talk about only these higher things. Having enjoyed some higher things, the mind cannot come down, cannot discuss these mundane things. And therefore Krishna says, Virat Bhaktas cannot think of anything else other than this cosmic beauty and order and the divinity. That is said in the next shloka. Machitta madgata pranaha. Bodhayantah parasparam. Kathayantascha mam nityam. Tushyanti charamanti cha. The Virat Bhaktas see the Lord alone in and through all their experiences, not through the physical eye. Physical eye will report only physical matter. Like that astronaut, his eyes saw only the earth, but his sensitive mind saw the Lord. Seeing is not the physical perception, but through the eye of maturity, through the eye of wisdom, he was able to discern the invisible, organizing, coordinating, intelligent, harmonizing principle. So thus for a bhakta, God vision is at a particular time, but at all the time. And therefore, machitta, their mind is always fixed on me. They cannot lose sight of me. And madgata prana, pranaha means sense organs. Their sense organs also fixed on me. So in short, they are never away from the presence of the Lord. And if at all they talk also, like the astronaut, he could have shared anything else, but he could share this. And this sharing, bodhayantaha parasparam, say mutually, They can never discuss the mundane topics of politics and fights and gossip and hatred and criticism and jealousy. They are all so cheap for them. They cannot think of spending their valuable time on such topics. They discuss only these higher things. Therefore, parasparam bodhayantaha. They share their divine experiences. And kathayantascha. And if they want to educate their children, they would like to give such an education. So education should be elevating the mind to see what is not physically perceptible, but what can be appreciated by only a mature mind. It is very easy to study chemistry, physics. I told you the other day. So the wife was crying. The husband is a great chemical scientist. He does research of everything. Anything he gets, he will do immediately research. And then wife was asking, I am crying. Don't you see my tears? Then he says that I know what is tears. It is NaClH2O. It is nothing but water with some sodium chloride. So on chemical analysis, you can only see the physical part, but no instrument can see the emotion behind the tears. That emotional pain or emotional deprivation, for that you require a sensitive mind which can understand a person is craving for company. That is the meaning of the tears, not NaClH2O. A mind which can discern that, which no chemical analysis will reveal. Similarly, God is discerned, not physically analyzed and arrived at. And therefore, kathayantascha, education is giving that mind which will discern the invisible God behind the physical universe. So, kathayantascha mam nityam. And having enjoyed that, the mind doesn't like anything inferior, lower than that. Therefore, nityam, all the time, they enjoy this. Not that they drop their duties and activities. Remember, the astronaut did all his duties. In and through that, he appreciated. Similarly, we can take care of family, we can bring up children, we can do everything, but still sensitize the mind to appreciate the Vishwarupa. And what is the advantage of that? Tushyanticha Ramanticha. Here in this very appreciation, there is fulfillment. In family front, there may be failures. And in professional front, there may be failures. But as long as this appreciation is there, you never look upon your life as a failure. This will make life a success, even if there are failures in other front. And therefore, there is fulfillment that I am able to appreciate the Lord. And not only fulfillment, ramanticha. They revel in that appreciation. They are grateful to the Lord that they have got a sensitive mind to appreciate this. Then what will happen to them? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupayanti te. And these bhaktas are satata yuktana. So their life is ever connected to me. They never forget their relationship with me. In and through their relationships with other people. I have told you before, a wave in the ocean is fundamentally related to the ocean alone. Because wave is born out of ocean, it rests in ocean and it goes back into the ocean. Therefore, the wave is primarily related to the ocean. Therefore, it is called the fundamental relationship. And imagine, when a wave rises, in the neighborhood there is another wave. And this wave looks at the other wave. And they like each other, fall in love. Therefore, this wave begins to love the other wave. And they decided, why can't we get married? And then was born a kutti child wave. And the whole wave family is moving about. But we know that the relationship between one wave and the other wave is incidental and secondary, because two waves are not born simultaneously and two waves do not disappear simultaneously. Wave-wave relationship is incidental, wave-ocean relationship is fundamental. A Virat Bhakta is one who has understood that I am like a wave and the Lord is like the ocean. And all the other human beings are also like what? Other waves only. So I might have and I do have several human relationships. They are all sacred, all right, but much more profound, much more sacred, much more fundamental and much more universal is my relationship with the Lord. The human relationships can last maximum for one life only. In the next life, the same husband and same wife need not be husband and wife, even though some people tell, next Janma also you should come as my wife. You should come as my husband. Mokshathukku vazhiya paaka theriyalai. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Next Janma also I want same wife, same husband. Who knows both are going to be human beings? One may be cat, another may be rat. Already in this Janma it is happening. So therefore, even the most sacred human relationship can last for only one life. So much more sacred is my relationship with the Lord. It does not mean we have to discard or disregard human relationship. But what scriptures say is, human relationship should never be at the cost of relationship with the Lord. So therefore, that relationship should be revived off and on. That's why regular prayers, I should tell Lord, O Lord, let me not forget my relationship with you in my preoccupation with these incidental relationship. And therefore, for a Virat Bhakta, there is a Tambura Shruti behind. Just as a musician, whatever songs he sings, However complicated the song may be, he has got the Shruti behind. He doesn't want to go out of that. If that is forgotten, apashruti. Similarly, for a Virat Bhakta, Ishvara Sambandha is the background Shruti. And all the other songs, it will come and go. Different ragas will come and go. And therefore, Virat Bhakta is called Satata Yuktaha. It is a very profound and significant word. Satata Yuktaha means one who never forgets the relationship with the macro. And again, and this relationship also is not maintained as a duty forced by others. I cannot create devotion by force. You should start loving from today or tomorrow. It is something to be discovered by knowledge, and therefore preeti purvakam bhajatam. And those who worship me, who remember me with love born out of understanding. Love is always born out of understanding. You can never love someone whom you do not know at all. I introduce a person, tomorrow 7:35 onwards you should start loving. And then I put a gun also. If you don't, I will shoot you. Love is not an action that you do, but it is something you discover as a result of understanding. The more you study the scriptures, the more you know the nature of God, and the more you know the nature of God, devotion is automatic. No will is required. Therefore, bhajatam preeti purvakam. And this bhakti also has got several levels. I have told you before, in the 7th chapter we saw, initially I look upon God as a means for worldly ends. That is the lowest form of love. It is called business love, contract love. You do this, I will do that. And that too, you should do first. Aparandhaan kudupena. Because minnale kuduthu nee pannalena. So that is our experience. We give money to someone, he goes. So we don't want to try that with God. Adhanala, you complete the job, not even advance. You complete the job, I will do. So this is called Manda Bhaktihi. Then the next one is learning to look upon God as an end in itself. Because Lord represents Purnatvam. Once I know Lord means Purnatvam, I understand my goal of life is self-fulfillment, self-sufficiency. And this is called Madhyama Bhakti. Avyabhicharini bhakti, and that is the bhakti that these people enjoy. So, preeti purvakam means they look upon God as the goal itself. And what will I do? Bhagavan says, I will also help them. How will I help them? By taking them to the next stage of sadhana. For the next stage of bhakti. What is the next stage of bhakti? They have progressed from eka rupa bhakti to aneka rupa bhakti. I hope you remember, Lord with one form to Lord with many forms. This aneka rupa bhakti is also not the ultimate. Because the ultimate Ishvara is neither ekarupaha nor anekarupaha, then What is his form? Arupa Ishwaraha. Therefore, Krishna tells, I will take them from Aneka Rupa Ishwara to Arupa Ishwara. Virad Ishwara to Nirgunam Brahma. And how to arrive at Nirgunam Brahma? Only by one method, and that is called Jnana Yogaha. So Nirgunam Brahma can be discovered only through Jnana Yogaha. Therefore Krishna tells, I will promote them to Jnana Yoga. Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. Buddhi Yogaha means Jnana Yogaha. And Jnana Yoga means what? Discovery of the formless God. So, Buddhi Yogam Aham Dadami Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam Aham Dadami. And through that, what will they accomplish? Yena Mam Upayantite. Through that Jnana Yoga, they reach the ultimate me, which is neither ekarupa nor anekarupa. The ultimate me is Nirgunam Brahma, Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Avyayam, Tatharasam, Nityam, Agandha, Vachayat. So if a guru is required, Krishna says, I will provide guru, I will provide shastram, I will provide opportunity to study the shastram, I will provide the necessary qualifications to gain, I will take the contract work. For what? To convert this bhakta into a nirguna jnani. That Krishna tells in the next verse.
Teshamevanukampartham.
Ahamajnanajam tamaha.
Nashayamyatma bhavasthaha. Jnana Deepena Bhasvata.
Krishna says, I will light the lamp of wisdom in the mind of the Virad Bhaktaha, in the mind of the Vishwarupa Bhakta. I will light the lamp of wisdom. Wisdom means what? Jnanam. Jnanam of whom? Ishwara Jnanam. And what type of Ishwara? Not ekarupa or anekarupa, but arupa, nirguna, Ishwara Jnanam, or aham brahmasmi iti jnanam, adduvaita jnanam. That is the lamp. So, Advaita Jnana Deepam, I will light in their mind. So, how can Krishna light the lamp of wisdom? Do you have any special matchbox? So that Bhagavan will come or Oruthra Vango Shuli. Thalayla Oru Ota Put, Oru matchbox Edithi, put inside the head. Remember, lighting the lamp of knowledge is not a physical job. Lighting the lamp of knowledge is not a physical job. Not only this knowledge. Imagine a physics professor has to light the lamp of physics knowledge in the mind of the student. What will he do? What can he do? So, can he light it physically? He cannot do. Can he call and touch his head? Sparsha Dikshai, Darshana Dikshai, Ennalamo Dikshai, Ennalamo Dikshai, he looks at him, suddenly light burns. Does it happen? Or he touches. Does it happen? Or he asks the Shishya to do regular Pada Puja. Physics teacher Aya Namaha. If the physics teacher has to light the lamp of physics knowledge, there is only one method, consistent, systematic teaching. Any knowledge is lighted only by consistent teaching. And if consistent teaching should be there, student should consistently listen. Illina enna pannuvar? Student illina teacher enna pannu? And therefore, systematic teaching is called lighting the lamp. And how long the teaching should go? Until the student understands and every doubt is removed. And therefore, when Krishna says, I will light the lamp of wisdom, what Krishna means is, I will provide the opportunity for systematic teaching of the scriptures. And I have got many gurus, like the security board, la nareya security vichindru paadilla, neenga apply panna kudupaadilla. Adu madri Bhagavan has got so many teachers with him, he can send any guru for you. And if no guru is available, Bhagavan himself will come. For Arjuna, when he was ready, Krishna himself became the teacher. And Krishna also did not use any other shortcut to give knowledge to Arjuna. What did Krishna do? He did not strike a matchstick. Krishna did not touch the head of Arjuna. TV lelam kaamikilade. Panja background music lelam put. Kannu lendu uru ray varamadri panni. And then bada 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 lelam panni Arjuna. Lelam TV le pannalame thavara. Krishna never found any shortcut to give knowledge. There is only one cut, short cut or long cut, and that is systematic communication. Either I will do or I will provide a guru. And all because of what? My compassion. Krishna says, anukampartham. Anukampa means compassion. Out of my compassion for them, I will provide an acharya. I will make the student learn systematically. I will make him go through Shravana, Manana, Nididhyasana and thus light the lamp. Atma Bhavastaha. All this how will I do? Remaining in his own mind. So Atma Bhavaha means the student's mind. That is not a problem for Bhagavan because he is already everywhere. And therefore, remaining in the student's mind, I will make the knowledge happen. And what type of light it is? Bhasvata jnana deepena. Because when you light up a lamp, initially the flame is very feeble. And therefore, one should be very careful. That's why even when you strike the matchstick, the flame is very feeble, easily it will be put out. Therefore, what do? You protect the flame. And then if you want to make it a conflagration, then you have to slowly fan it, so that the flame becomes big. And once the flame becomes sufficiently big, thereafter, you need not protect it. In fact, any fuel you add, it will burn all of them. There is no fear. Similarly, at the time of Shravanam, the lamp is lit. But you should never stop with Shravanam. If you stop with Shravanam, your knowledge is so feeble that one painful experience in life, Vedanta will be thrown out. And therefore, Shravanam should be followed by Mananam. You should spend time revising what you have learned. And not only Mananam, Nididhyasanam also. And once the knowledge becomes a conviction, whatever happens in your life, it does not hurt you. And therefore, Bhasvata Jnana Deepena, by the powerful lamp of knowledge, what do? Tamaha Nashayami. I will remove the darkness in the mind which is born of ignorance. So, ignorance born darkness, and that internal darkness alone appears as the external gloom in the face. Whether a person is samsari or not, he need not tell. Moonjiya paathale therinjidum. There is an eternal valakkannai, no? Eternal gloom. And ask, how are you? Point rukke. That is the shortest answer for samsara. Then you sit and ask, what is happening? Then there is a serial, chitti, bandham, sundam, ellam thothu poidum. He has got a huge serial of a story starting from 1915. So that is the gloom in the face. That will go away and the face will bloom with joy. Not the problems are gone, but the problems lose their capacity to disturb me. And therefore, tamaha, the bloom which is born out of ignorance, I will destroy. In short, this Virad Bhakta will become a Brahmajnani. And without becoming Brahmajnani, there is no question of moksha at all. These verses are important because many people think that without Brahma Jnanam, Bhakti Nalaye or Vare route la poi, in the Amarnathikala shortcut route, Baltal route, Panchatarani route la chalalalyo. Adu madri, in the Jnanatta circumvent panni, the Bhakti Nalaye adanjudrome na, Bhagavan clearly says, there is no shortcut, you have to gain knowledge. At the same time, you need not be frightened also, because if you surrender to the Lord, Lord will provide the conditions for knowledge. Nothing to worry. So thus, Virat Bhakta becomes Brahmajnani, is the essence of these verses, and he becomes Brahmajnani with the assistance and support of the Lord. Continuing, Arjuna uvacha, param brahma parandhama, pavitram paramam bhavanam, purusham shashvatam divyam, adi devam ajam vibhum. Krishna has talked about Ishvara Swarupam. Krishna has talked about Vishwarupa Bhakti or Virat Bhakti, and Krishna has talked about the benefit of Virat Bhakti, which is Brahma Jnanam, which will lead to moksha. So with this, Krishna's teaching is over. If Arjuna had kept quiet, the 10th chapter would have been over. Om Tatsat Vandirkam. But Arjuna is raising a question here in the following verses, beginning from 12 up to 18. 12 to 18, Arjuna Prashnaha. This question is based on what Krishna said before. What did Krishna say? I am the cause of the universe, and therefore I alone am appearing as this universe, and therefore every glory in the universe is my glory. No human being has any glory, but my glory is manifesting through every object in the creation. So Arjuna is interested in knowing the details of Bhagavan's glory. Because Krishna has said, everything is my glory. In Sanskrit, glory is vibhutihi. So whether it is a microcosmic world with its glory, or the macrocosmic creation with its glory, all are my glories, Krishna says. But Arjuna says, don't give me a general statement. Ellam ennodu sonna poradu. Please tell me what are your glories. I am interested in knowing Ishvara Vibhuti. And therefore, Arjuna introduces the topic, Hey Krishna, Param Brahma. You are none other than the highest Nirgunam Brahma, which is appearing as Saguna Ishvara, because Nirgunam Brahma with Vesham is Saguna Ishvara. Dressed Brahman is Ishvara. Undressed Ishvara is Brahman. Adhanala, don't think Ishvara and Brahman are two different things. Brahman plus the Vibhuti is Ishvara. Therefore, Arjuna says, originally you are Param Brahma. Not only that, Param Dhamma, and you are the supreme light of consciousness. So, Dhamma has the meaning of light also. Dhamma means abode also. Both meanings are okay. You are the abode of the whole universe. Or you are the light of consciousness, Chaitanya Swarupaha. And not only that, Paramam Pavitram. And you are the most sacred one, the holiest of the holy. And why the Lord is the holiest of the holy? Because anything else becomes holy only because of the association with the Lord. Suppose a building is there like this. It doesn't have any holiness at all. It is nothing but brick and mortar. Nobody is going to do namaskar. But imagine you install a deity here. Moment a deity is installed, the holiness of the deity gets pervaded into the entire hall, and the hall also becomes holy. And therefore, everything else has got borrowed holiness, whereas Ishvara has got intrinsic holiness, and therefore Ishvara is the holiest of the holy. And even a saint is holy, not because of his being a human being. He has become a saint because of what? because of discovering the Lord in himself. And therefore, a saint is a saint, again, because of the association with the Lord. And therefore, you are the holiest of the holy. And that is why, when you buy a fruit from the shop, the moment you get the fruit, what is your first tendency? Swaha. Kadacha poduna. Ulla poduna. That is the tendency. As children, we have done that. It continues. But the same fruit comes from the Lord. That fruit is given for puja, and at the end of the puja, the same fruit is coming. Now the fruit is associated with the Lord. Therefore, you don't put it straight into the mouth. First it goes to the eye, indicating your vision of the holiness. The invisible holiness you see with this eye, you discern, and the next job is what? Vayugula. So thus, a fruit becomes holy because of association with the Lord. A place becomes holy because of the association with the Lord. Lord becomes holy because of association with? No, Lord never becomes holy. Lord is holiness. And therefore, paramam pavitram. Pavitranam pavitram yo mangalanam cha mangalam. Then not only that, purusham. So you are the indweller, you are the resident in every human body. Every human body is a temple, and every heart is the sanctum. And you are there as the Sakshi Chaitanyam. So, Deho Devalaya Proktaha Jivo Deva Sanatanaha. So, since you are indwelling every body, you are called Purushaha. Puru means body, Shaha means residing or resident. Puru Shaha means resident of the body. Then Shashvatam, you are the eternal one. Because when we say Lord is residing in the body, we may conclude when body goes, Lord also finished, because aam poyidtho illiyo. No, no, no. Even if the residence goes, the resident never dies. Shashvatam Divyam Adideva Majam Vibhum. Thus Arjuna gives a wonderful description of Ishvara to please Lord Krishna, because he is going to ask for a favor. Whenever you ask for a favor, first maska you should apply. It is taught in Bhagavad Gita. Okay. Apply lot. And adhikapram and Krishna idhalam pannu solapara. So these are all pleasing the Lord, of course not bluffing, talking about the real glory. The details we will see in the next class. Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vachishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.